WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Football, you bet.
This is a wrestling show. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live at twitch.tv/WTR Live and wildtalkradio.com. I am the producer, Sir Rocket. Joined as always by the intern, Kate Kittens.
I feel like I need a cigarette after the games today. And I don't even smoke, so.
Football has been very, very good to me.
It's been good to everyone except for Aaron Rodgers. Who has a natural immunity to the NFC Championship game.
And then, of course, the one and only Tim Stein.
Football has been very, very good to me. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Glad to hear it. Are you breathing?
Are you breathing?
I was asking Kane Kittens.
Oh, I'm breathing. I did not have a horse in that game. I was just laughing my ass off over the fact that both teams seemingly could not play defense.
You think John Madden is looking down from his perch in heaven and laughing his ass off over what happened this weekend?
No, he'd be sad that Aaron Rodgers lost.
Because it's a new
version. You know, he's a Packer homer.
Yeah, he was. For years, he was Mr. Brett Favre.
He was. Brett Favre.
And now the Packers are $48 million over the cap. Welcome to being regular teams, y'all.
Everybody say goodbye to Aaron Rodgers.
And Davante Adams.
I hear that they're going to sign multi-$1,000 contracts with the CFL.
You heard that on the dirt sheets?
Yeah, it must have been on the dirt sheets because that's totally made up bullshit.
Exactly.
Everyone knows that Canada doesn't have dollars.
We have dollars. They just don't make a lot of sense. Anyway, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio. WTR, Sunday Night Live right here. Also streaming twitch.tv/WTR Live. If you're tuned in and you're listening and all that stuff and you're not in the chat room, head over to twitch.tv/WTR Live. We've got a live interactive chat room, and on there, I know that Ken Kittens, you're in there.
I'm getting in there. Hang on.
Okay. And of course, our Joe producer, Sir Rockin, he's in there too. He's kind of has no choice.
Yeah, I have no choice. I'm always there. Chat. So, chat, do emotes. They'll pop up on screen when you do your emotes. Do emotes.
Are you doing emotes?
Do emotes. They'll pop up on the screen when you emote. Anyway.
Come on, emote.
Give it time. They'll do it. Anyway.
We're a little bit ahead of the stream by a few seconds.
Yeah. See? So I'm waiting. There are the emotes.
There they are. They're just flying all over the place randomly. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that awesome? So you can do that too. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, tonight is the Royal Rumble pick'em, as it were. We got just enough entrants literally coming down to the wire tonight. Well, this afternoon anyway. All the slots are now booked up, are they not, Rock?
Everything has been filled, everything has been rolled, and the results will be coming out at the end of the show.
And all I know is that I'm winning this year.
Keep dreaming.
I hope you get Dana Brooke.
I hope you get Dana Brooke. There's a really bad joke in there somewhere, and I'm not going to go there.
So, well, we'll get to that at the end of the show, but we have to preview the show, which takes place this Saturday live on Peacock and the WWE Network for a premium live event.
PLE, yo. PLE.
Still available on the WWE Network outside of the United States. Canada.
I did say that. I said Peacock and the WWE Network. Anyway.
Globally.
It's available for a premium live event.
Premium. You were about to say premium live.
Yeah. I first went through. There was another word that went through my head. So it was like, oh, wait. Anyway.
You didn't really appreciate that meme I sent you earlier today, did you?
I don't remember the meme you sent me earlier today. So.
Oh, my God. Okay. It was a picture of Bob Saget and Betty White. And
I never clicked it.
Okay. Well, Bob Saget was saying, what shall we have for dinner? And then Betty White says, how about meatloaf?
So we're here to talk about the Royal Rumble.
Hey, don't no-sell this. I thought it was particularly savage.
It's not pay-per-view, Ash. It's a premium live event.
Not allowed to call it a pay-per-view anymore. It's a premium live event.
In the WWE universe, pay-per-view is dead. It's a premium live event.
And what we're going to have is a pay-per-view probably around June or July where we all get together collectively to kick 2022's ass, because I think it's just shaping up to be a bigger shit show than the last 2 years. But that's me.
All right, let's talk about the Royal Rumble.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
You said something in July. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, wrestling in 2022 was going to turn out to be a real shit show. What'd you think I meant?
You said something about July. I was like, wait, what? It doesn't matter. Anyway. Let's get into
it. Don't take the bait.
Let's get into it. The WWE Raw Women's Championship is on the line. Becky Lynch will be defending against Bianca. No, wait. Liv. No. Doudrop?
Yeah, what the hell is that?
Well, you don't want to burn Bianca because that's probably going to be in April?
At the most stupendous premium live event of the year.
Yeah.
WrestleMania!
Yeah, great. The two-day event in Texas. Woo-woo.
375.
That's where Bianca will face Becky. Liv, not quite ready for that show. She'll end up with a match or in a match. Just don't think she's ready for the title match on the biggest stage.
Brent, you do realize that we're going to wind up expecting the women's title match to be a triple threat, right?
Could be. Could also be just Bianca versus Becky with that history being able to, you know. Besides, you can probably do a triple threat in the other match, but.
Yeah, no, I just mark my words, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but if I'm not, I'm going to gloat.
Okay.
So,
I will have earned it.
So of those three potential contenders, this gives you that one to kind of set you up to move towards WrestleMania.
Of course, there is always the prospect that Doudrop might roll up on Becky's leg and cause her to miss 3 or 4 months.
Okay, that seems out of nowhere, but go for it.
It really wasn't completely out of nowhere. People seem to forget. Now, it was total accident, and it wasn't because she's a bad wrestler, but she rolled over Natty's leg. And Natty, being the Terminator machine that she is, was able to come back a couple of weeks later. But that's Natty. She's not human. She's a different beast altogether.
Okay.
Doudrop isn't Nia. She's not going to hurt Becky on the road to WrestleMania.
Doudrop isn't Nia. She's actually a good wrestler.
So about this match.
They've done a good job setting up Doudrop as a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm. Because the replacement for what they wanted Nia to be.
But I mean, it's like in the triple threat, Doudrop was, you know, she's had the matches with Bianca, so there's history there. But at least Doudrop, I think a lot of people expected Bianca to probably win and start to set up the thing. However, Rumble is a little early. So if you want to make Becky look strong going into WrestleMania, plus the fact if she needs to, she can use some of those heel underhanded ways to win this match and keep that moving forward, Doudrop is a good opponent for her. Because Doudrop's going to have the power. Becky's not going to be able to just force her will onto her opponent. She might be able to use some veteran tactics. She may be more cerebral in this match. But yeah, she's not going to be able to just grab her and do, you know, a Bexploder that she's able to do against Liv. Instead, she has to be very much more tactical. And yeah. Doudrop can be just that dominating presence and have Becky kind of sitting there going, oh God, I need to figure out a way to win. Which again, if she does something like put feet on the ropes, grab the ropes, you know, poke her in the eye, any of those kinds of underhanded ways to win, it will fit.
Now, let me cause you to step outside just for a sec and answer this question. We've seen stronger opponents carry weaker opponents to a good match that is enjoyable and watchable. And we've seen stronger opponents not able to carry a weaker opponent. We have seen, you know, air quotes, weaker opponents totally ruin a match. Is Doudrop a weak wrestler that needs to be carried by Becky? And if so, is Becky capable of pulling out a good match with Doudrop?
To answer your first question, no, I don't think she's a weak opponent. My evidence for that is if you ever watched Piper Niven take on Toni Storm, you saw that she's very capable. In fact, she is able to be very athletic if you give her the chance.
Now, one thing that I was hoping that you did, which is exactly what you did, was you name dropped.
Okay.
Piper Niven. The casual WWE fan doesn't know Piper Niven. The casual WWE fan knows Doudrop.
Yes.
Get what I'm saying?
I understand that. However, I'm also saying that the athletic ability of the woman is still the same, even as the name, even as her gimmick changes, she's still able to perform at a high level. So
my point is she's not some kind of random noob coming into WWE. This woman actually does know what she's doing in that ring. Take it from there.
So in terms of, do I think Becky needs to carry her? No, I think the two of them, and I don't know if they've ever met before, but I'm willing to say that she has crossed paths with Piper back in the day on the other side of the pond. They know each other well enough that Becky can be like, okay, you can do this. Well, let's work this in. Let's do this. And they will construct a match together rather than Becky having to go, all right, I'm going to take the lead. Follow me.
Fair enough. So at the end of the day, we can expect a fairly decent women's title match out of these two.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty good match between the two. Do I think it's going to be match of the night, a barn burner? No, but it doesn't have to be, considering the fact that you've got two Rumble matches which are going to carry the show. I think if they go out there and make an, you know, have an enjoyable, you know, 10-15 minute match, it did its job. It did what it's supposed to do, and it's going to further the storyline moving forward, which is what this kind of setup needs most.
Yeah. I'm not completely in disagreement with you.
So when it comes down to it, who is going to walk out as champion? Is it going to be Becky or Doudrop, Brent?
Becky. Like I said, Doudrop winning would be a surprise, but believable because, again, she has the size. She has the presence to be able to win. It would be believable. But if you're going to do a spot change, in my opinion, Liv was the person that you should have done it for. And you could have had Becky drop. You could have had Becky pick it back up at Saudi/Chamber/whatever the hell it's going to be called. WrestleMania Chamber, whatever.
It's Elimination Chamber.
Okay, well, I thought I saw that they were looking at changing the name, so...
Stop reading the sheets, Brent. Stop reading the sheets.
I can't help it. They're there.
There are legitimate sites, and then the rest of them are sheets. Stay off the sheets.
Okay. But if you were going to make the change, you could have done it with Liv. The crowd would have been behind it. Becky could have won it on the road to WrestleMania, and therefore you have the big money match, which is Becky versus Bianca, because everyone wants to see Bianca really get that shot at her. And if you do it, you can do it on the big stage. You can let Bianca have that moment again. You can have Becky have that moment. They can headline night one, possibly. But yeah, in this case, in my opinion, Becky wins here.
I'm in complete agreement. I can't see Becky dropping the title to Doudrop. I do expect a good match at the end of the day with Becky winning. Is she going to be grabbing the ropes or putting her feet on the ropes or anything like that?
Is that rhetorical, or are you asking?
I was legitimately asking.
I think she'll do something where she ends up rolling up Doudrop and then is probably close enough to the ropes to put like a foot on there. I don't see Doudrop tapping in like a disarmer, but I can see Becky doing something where she ekes out a win. Because then it also still keeps Doudrop strong moving forward against whoever she's going to face, seeing that Becky had to resort to those kinds of means to win.
And it continues Becky's current character.
Right. And with that, it's proving that she's, you know, I'm smart enough to realize that I can get away with this.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That works. Hey, good work, Rock. I was in the middle of looking how to click on that band, but you got there before I did.
I know what I'm doing, Tim. So, Kay, well, she also went with Becky Lynch.
If somebody gets banned, can they be unbanned?
They can.
Oh, good. So I can practice on team chat.
Please don't. Thank you very much. Please don't.
I can give him a timeout.
Okay, whatever. Sorry, Matt. That's on him. He's running wild with power. Anyway, our next matchup on the card is the mixed tag team match. Edge and Beth Phoenix taking on The Miz and Maurice. Go, Baron, just go.
Maurice is going to die. She's going to be buried at this match at some point. I don't mean, like, industry term buried. I mean, Beth Phoenix is legitimately going to put Maurice 6 feet under, and it's going to be glorious to watch.
You're just champing at the bit for this match, aren't you, Brent?
Well, here's the thing. Every time we've seen Maurice, she's been on the outside, and she's, you know, she has an effect on the match. She interjects herself, and with Edge, we were all waiting for it. So Maurice interjects herself. That's when Mama Beth showed up. And the best part about it wasn't just Maurice's reaction, because, you know, Maurice started to run for the hills. It was The Miz who realized his wife was on borrowed time and was just pointing, going, honey, honey, oh God. Honey, you're gonna die. And Beth, you know, makes her walk to the ring after the music hit. And Maurice could not try to get away fast enough. Yep. And in this match, the best part about it is if Beth gets involved, either Maurice or Miz could die. Because she won't hesitate laying The Miz out. And Edge is just gonna sit there the whole time going, that's my wife. Right there.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that spot where she lays Miz out.
And like I said, Edge is just going to be like sitting in the corner smiling, being like, yeah, I don't have to do anything. She's not fighting my battle for me. She wants to do this.
Well, that's going to be most of this intergender tag match is Edge staring at the crowd with a great big cheese-eating grin on his face.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to watch the entrance with the two of them. If Edge comes out to like the Brood and like Beth rises up out of the fire as well. Oh God, that would be epic.
I've always liked that entrance anyway, so.
But I mean, we talked about this before when it was the solo match between Edge and Miz.
Mm-hmm.
They're both good workers. We were waiting to see what happened with Maurice. We were waiting to see what happened with Beth. And we knew it was going to come to this intergender match. Now we're getting this. And it's one of those things like Maurice can work in the ring. That's fine. We know Beth can go. We've seen it in the Royal Rumbles that she made appearances in, and holy shit, she has not lost a step. So the fact of we get this match at Rumble with Edge and Miz are going to more than hold their own. We know that. We've seen them. They're good workers. They're fine. Edge doesn't need to carry the match, which is something that's good for him. Because as we talked about since his return, when he's fighting with Randy, when he's fighting in a lot of these matches, they've been really big matches, and he's, you know, had to like carry a main event style match. In this, he's got Beth there with him. He's got The Miz. It's not a main event. It's placed on the card for the Royal Rumble. He can just kind of go out and have fun.
Yep.
So I think this match will be enjoyable. Plus the fact that we've already seen the, you know, Maryse bringing out the brick and hitting Beth with it. So it's going to be, okay, what's the response? And of course, this week we've got the Maryse birthday celebration. So we all know that's going to go well. Nothing's going to happen at that part.
Yeah, nobody's going to wind up wearing a cake on their face.
I say sarcastically. But it's that kind of thing like, okay, we've seen the heels get the one over. We've seen them use the weapon. What's the response going to be from the opportunist and the Glamazon? And in the match, like, if Maryse tries to pull the brick out again, they know it's coming. So what's their plan B?
Two bricks.
An entire pallet. And that's still not enough to keep Beth down.
She's kept herself in great shape over the years, that's for damn sure, since her retirement.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's one of those things, like, you know, when she's doing commentary for NXT, you're still involved. But is there that little bit of an itch because you know you can still go?
Yeah.
And you don't have to compete all the time, but it's like, yeah, if a spot like this pops up, by all means, use Beth. Besides, you've already got the babysitter for the kids with Edge there. You're fine. Just let mom and dad have date night.
Yeah, this is true. Is Beth going back to NXT when this is all said and done?
No, she had her swan song there. They're fine running the two-man booth. I think this frees her up to just kind of have some time. Maybe she wants to do some stuff behind the scenes. Maybe she just doesn't want to make the travel anymore. That's cool.
Or, you know, she's doing stuff, production stuff behind the scenes that just frees her up, you know, to be more involved in it. So
if Beth is involved in like the
women's division overall.
Yeah, then that's a huge asset.
Absolutely massive. As we all know collectively, my buddy TJ Wilson, also known as Tyson Kidd, he has a very, very, very big input into the women's division. In fact, he's the road agent for the women's division. So him and Betty, as they call her, teaming up can only make a good thing even better.
So who? Go ahead, Brent.
But I was going to say, like, ultimately in the end, you're going to have a real interesting interplay here because, you know, Maryse does not want to be in the ring with Beth. We've kind of seen that. So you'll have those points where, you know, Edge is getting one over on Miz, and all of a sudden, you know, he might try to go make that tag. Is Maryse going to be on the apron there? Or is she going to be like, oh, wait, I need to go check my heel. And all of a sudden Miz is like, oh, God damn it. And then, of course, if Beth is in peril, then yeah. That's where you get the tag in. It's what we saw with Stefan, Hunter, and Rhonda.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Beth will not hesitate if Miz walks in to be like, I'll slap the taste out of your mouth. And Miz realizes that and probably goes, no, I don't want that either. Can I fight the kids instead?
I can't really say I care who wins this match. I'm just looking forward to the entertainment factor.
But who does win?
Who does win? My initial was going to say Beth and Edge, but now I'm thinking, which is a dangerous thing. They could do a lot more, I think, down the road if Miz and Maryse pull this one out.
Okay, so it's your pick, Brent.
I'm gonna go Edge and Aunt Betty because I don't see this necessarily carrying on past this point. I think you can put Miz onto, you know, a mid-card multi-man match at Mania or whatever, but I don't really see necessarily them needing to carry this on past this. This is, to me, the blow-off. And I, you know, you could have Miz Maryse win by underhanded means because Edge picked up the win solo. I see this as kind of like a, you wait all match for it, Beth finally gets her hands on Maryse, glam slam, 1, 2, 3, fans are happy.
Okay, Casey went with Edge and Beth, just for reference points. All right, up next, the WWE Championship is on the line when Brock Lesnar defends against Bobby Lashley.
Definitely Brock. I'm expecting this to be exactly what it's going to be, which is just two Brahma bulls in that ring headbutting each other, figuratively speaking. of course.
Oh, this is going to be a car crash, but I don't mean that in a way of, like, an awful match. I mean, this is going to be, like, property damage when these two hit each other. This is something that people have wanted for a while, because when Bobby went to TNA and kind of established his MMA roots, people kind of were like, oh, well, what happens if him and Brock ever meet?
And so, well, that's... Bobby's wanted to meet up with Brock for years.
Yeah.
He's wanted to work with Lesnar for a long time.
They're both amateur wrestling, backgrounds. They're both just massive people.
Both MMA backgrounds.
Yeah, they both went into the world of MMA.
Yep.
I would say Brock was a little more successful.
You're reading my mind. I was just about to say that.
But at least it was one of those things, like when Bobby was in his first run with WWE, I mean, he did well. He was in, you know, a big Mania match. He had the ECW title, but it always felt like there was something a little missing with him. Then when he came back the second time, it's like, okay, it rounded out a bit more. And when he finally got paired with MVP and kind of did the Almighty, that's when it all really came together, because you kind of looked at him and went, yeah, this guy can be a main eventer. I still think he kind of has the personality of a door, but at least him being put on the headline of a premium live event doesn't seem like a stretch. You kind of go, okay, yeah, he's a legitimate big guy badass. Then there's Brock, the original. And I like that they kind of touched on this as part of the build when Brock is calling him a Brock Lesnar wannabe. Because as you talked about, Bobby's wanted to face Brock for a long time, but when you look at the pedigree, when you look at the physique, it very much is, you know, same mold for these two.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just so happened Brock came first and did a lot of the things that Bobby has done or would do.
Well, Brock is built like a fighter. Bobby's built like a weightlifter, a bodybuilder.
But at least the one thing I will give them is, though he is built like that, they've given him the moveset that works with that frame. So, like, putting on the Hurt Lock, putting on, you know, the Dominator and the Spear, those are all very impactful for someone of that size. So it just reinforces what he has going.
Oh, absolutely. Who wins?
I don't see them have Bobby going into Mania with that belt. I know that you can have Bobby win here because you always have the chamber right before Mania to make any changes or to help set the card. Mm-hmm. I just don't see Brock losing it here. If anything, if you want to have the belt drop off of Brock before Mania, which I think they're going to do to set up the other main event, unless he's the one that has the belt and Roman's challenging him. That's interesting. You can have Brock drop in the chamber, because the one retort you could have for it is there were five other guys in that match. And if he doesn't make it out of chamber with the belt in Saudi, you're kind of like, well, you can understand that. I think if Bobby wins here, it would be a huge rub to Bobby. But at the same time, in my opinion, Brock needs to go in at least a little stronger than losing to Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see Bobby winning next Saturday night.
And neither does Casey. He has Brock Lesnar winning.
All right, so Lesnar straight down.
Or right. Straight up.
All right, the other one. WWE Universal title. Roman Reigns. Seth freaking Rollins.
Seth may also die at this pay-per-view. We did get a Jon Moxley reference, though.
Oh, my God.
I know. Two people on WWE. That's unheard of.
Oh, my God. They said the word Mox. Oh, my God. Forbidden Door?
Oh, God, don't get me started about the fucking Forbidden Door. No, this is just a renewed rivalry between brothers. Of course, they touched on that. These guys know each other. They faced each other a lot. But the one thing I like is that Seth can play off the fact of, like, I know you, Roman. I know you better than any other people would. Because, you know, we've traveled the road. We were the Shield. And don't forget, that first shot across the bow when the Shield broke up was Seth taking the chair to Roman.
It's going to be a fun match.
And one of my favorite things was from this week's SmackDown, when they had the tag match of if Seth lost, he would lose his title shot. If Seth won in the tag match, the Usos were barred from ringside.
Yep.
So you set it up that Roman interjects. Well, guess what? Roman got in there. He got emotional. He beat up Seth. And he walked away thinking, all right, match over. And Seth is sitting there again, like, with Kevin when they were doing the, when they set up the Fatal Four Way, they start to announce it, and Seth starts to get a smile on his face because he realized Roman fucked up. He cost his own boys the match, which therefore screwed him.
Yep. Seth wins, but disqualification. The Usos are barred from ringside.
Right. And again, it's kind of showing that, like, for as much as Roman has embraced this head of the table, the one thing we've never seen from Roman is that he's been a good strategist. He's always been a, you know, brute force kind of person. I'm going to go in, assert my will, and win. That's why you had Paul Heyman as your special counsel, because Heyman could handle the strategy. He could handle the other things. Roman just went out there and kicked ass.
Mm-hmm.
What Seth can do now is step in and insert that kind of strategy in, where it's like, yeah, I can screw with Roman. I know what pushes his buttons. I know what to do in this situation. So now it becomes like, okay, Roman can be brute force, but what happens if there is those kinds of moments where it's like he needs to think tactically? Can Seth jump in and be like, haha?
I expect a couple of callbacks to Seth's Money in the Bank cash in and first title win in this one. And it's almost a case of I might feel disappointed if they don't do that. But I said earlier, this should be a very, very entertaining match. It's going to come down to brute force versus strategy and tactics. And, you know, like which is going to come out on top. These two guys definitely know each other exceedingly well. And even though it's been a long time since they've been in a ring together, I think that the two of them are going to work like a very well-oiled machine. And the ultimate winner will be the fans. That said, Roman retains.
Brent,
if any of the titles were, if either of the main titles were going to change, this would be the one, because it could set Seth up to face whoever wins the Rumble winner, which is what I'm trying to base my pick around. Plus, this could possibly move the belts to the other brand if they wanted to. So you could have the Universal on Raw if you wanted, with Seth winning.
The Universal back on Raw.
Right. I just don't know if they're going to take it off Roman here. I think you can have the title change here and it would be big, but in my opinion, Roman losing the belt, if he does it at Mania against like Brock or whoever, whatever they're setting up their main event to be, that's the moment. That's the Mania moment where everyone's like, oh man, you know, finally the king has been conquered. The 600 whatever day reign is over. And at that point, you know, you reset the season. Roman can go home for a little bit. He can, you know, take time off and relax and let whatever happen. He can drop the belt here and still set up a big match. But in my opinion, Reigns will leave here with the belt, setting up Mania for the big match.
So Casey picks Roman. So everything revolves around WrestleMania, which means there are two Royal Rumble matches to get to, because the winners will go on to headline the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time.
Such a stupid tagline. It's so awful.
I like how they had Pat McAfee read the definitions for stupendous on TV. That was great. All right. We'll start with the women's Royal Rumble.
The one that has more people announced for it.
Has 21 people announced for it.
Which means they still have 9 to go.
But oh my god, the surprises.
Surprises? They're going to be surprises in the Royal Rumble? No way.
It just won't be the inspiration.
Holy cow.
No, that Royal Rumble won't be iconic. Alright, so far announced are Rhea Ripley, Nikki A.S.H., Dana Brooke, Carmella, Queen Zelina, Tamina, Shotzi, Natalya, Aaliyah, Naomi, Shayna Baszler, SmackDown Women's Champion Charlotte Flair, Nikki and Brie, Bella, Lita, Michelle McCool, Kelly, Summer Rae, Mickey James, the Impact Wrestling Knockouts Champion, Bianca Belair, and Liv Morgan.
So far.
So far. Who has the best shot at winning the Royal Rumble and heading to WrestleMania?
One of the surprises yet to be announced.
You really think so?
Well, if what I'm thinking holds true, yes.
Elaborate or don't?
I don't know if I want to elaborate just yet. I don't know. All right. Well, I expect a certain high profile return to happen. And I expect this whole high profile return not to be announced before the Rumble.
Tim wants Jillian Hall to be back.
When she shows up and her music hits and the crowd blows the roof off the arena.
So, Bailey, is that's where you're headed with that one?
Yeah. How long did it take you to realize I was leaning that way?
0.00001 second.
Because Bailey right now, she's repaired. She's repaired, and she doesn't have to do anything except show up. Maybe she's surprise entrant number 30, and she's got one person to throw over the rope, and I would love for that to be Charlotte. And then she doesn't have to work until Mania.
See, to me, if she's going to throw anyone over the top rope, it's Bianca. Keep that story going. But there's a couple of good storylines throughout the Women's Rumble that we've seen. You've got this tease that we saw on SmackDown 2 weeks ago with the Women's Champion and a legend teasing that they still have one run left in them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Lita were to win the Royal Rumble, that would be...
I'd mark out, okay? If she won, I would mark out. I'm not going to lie.
And here's the thing about that. So you would mark out. Fans would mark out. The biggest thing that comes from the Royal Rumble, as Rock talked about, is this person is guaranteed a spot / shot at WrestleMania, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you have the WrestleMania poster and you put up there Lita taking on Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's title at WrestleMania?
Oh, shit.
You have quite possibly the woman who has the most accolades in wrestling taking on already a WWE Hall of Famer, a legend in their own right, and someone who you know can go in there and give a damn good match with them. Those two could easily put on a Mania level match and have everyone salivating. You could have the old fans and the current fans, and especially current fans looking going, oh, it would be great if she shut Charlotte up.
And you would have old fans coming back just to watch the match.
Right. So you have that storyline going on.
Yeah.
You've got Naomi in the match, possibly getting, you know, messed with in terms of Serena or
Sonya Deville.
Sonya Deville.
Serena. Know,
it's been a long day. but it's that kind of thing like, does Sonya prevent Naomi from entering the match? If she gets in the match, is it, you know, she rules that, nope, 2 feet hit the floor when it was only one, she's out. You know, how do you carry that forward to what will probably eventually be a Mania match or something with those two? You've got just a lot of little stories peppered in with the Rumble, and that's one of the things I love about the Rumble is you've got 30 people competing, but at the same time, you could have 10 different little stories going on, because also, you're going to see, you know, former tag team champions finally get their hands on one another. Because we've seen it teased the past week or two. But the Rumble's the match where, okay, if they're in the ring at the same time, is shit going to hit the fan?
Oh, Rhea's going to teach Nikki how to fly.
Plus, you've also got the fact of, you know, there's 9 people left. Do you get that usual NXT appearance? Do you get someone like Mandy Rose popping her head in because, you know, she has competed at the Rumble before? Do you get someone like a Cora Jade who they think can be one of the next big things and, you know, try to get that face pop like you've gotten with Candice LeRae in the past or Tegan Knox or any of those people? And maybe she can skateboard down the ramp more than 5 feet. Poor Cora. She tries. She really does. But yeah, the Women's Rumble is going to be interesting because they have different ways of going about it. And yeah, there's still those 9 names that we don't necessarily know about. We've seen the, quote, forbidden door opened for one of them. And the fact that Mickey's coming back and that she can walk down that ramp with the Impact Knockouts Championship is a big thing. Because we're probably not going to get, you know, happy clapping theme song Mickey James. We're probably going to get hardcore country. And that'll be a real interesting view for a lot of WWE fans. Because for those that have only known her as, you know, the Trish Stalker and, you know, when she had that unfortunate event of Piggy James and some of the other things in her past, there's always been that kind of one view of her. But now you can bring in that other side. You can have her be hardcore country because it's just a one-off. You don't, this is, as Rock likes to call it, a make good for her because of what happened. And plus, WWE can bring her in because you know what happens here. You know how this goes. You're a good hand. Go at it.
What kind of a pop would the fans who are the knowledgeable fans hearing hardcore country?
Oh, if they break that out, you'll get an audible pop from the people who, you know, have that history of TNA.
Yeah, makes me want it to happen now.
It'd be a good callback. It'd be worth it.
I think it might be, yeah.
Cool. She alluded to that most likely happen, but day of, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's all up to what they'll allow, but I mean, Rock, what would your reaction be if you hear, you know, hardcore country?
It'd be awesome.
Just make sure the camera is trained on the entranceway, for the love of God.
Okay. So you mentioned a lot of names and everything, but you haven't mentioned the winner. Who wins?
Tim, go first.
I did already.
Okay, Tim saying Bailey.
Were you not paying attention?
No, I was paying attention. I just wasn't sure if that was...
That wasn't a hypothetical. That was my pick. Well, okay. I knew that.
But we do, like, at the end, going back through the picks. That's kind of a deal.
Yeah, that's the setup.
So before you go, Brent, Bianca Belair with an E to win Women's Rumble.
Belair, okay.
With an E. Got to make sure there's an E at the end.
I put the E there.
Okay, that's what he wrote.
Honestly, that's where I was going to go. I was going to say Bianca wins it for the second year, setting up her shot, because she's tried to get that title shot repeatedly, but something has gotten in the way. With this gives her the chance to kind of step in and be like, no, I win. I finally get my shot. Though I will say, what would be interesting is what Charlotte said of, if she wins, she can pick her opponent.
Which is why I hope Charlotte's one of the first eliminated. Well, one of the reasons.
But again, we could still get Charlotte versus Lita that way. We could get Charlotte versus Bayley. We could get a couple of things, but it would be a really interesting situation of, for once, the champion picks where she goes.
Mm-hmm.
But poor pick, you know, with quote, money on the line, I will go with Bianca Belair again.
Okay,
this time without an E.
We then have the Men's Royal Rumble. You have 15 people announced so far, more probably announced this week. But they include Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, Austin Theory, Johnny Knoxville, Sheamus, Damian Priest, AJ Styles, Big E, Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss, Sami Zayn, Kofi Kingston, and Kevin Owens.
Johnny Knoxville's going to take a wicked bump. I can't wait for it.
Here's the kicker. The bump that he winds up taking at the Rumble will probably be the least painful bump he's ever taken.
Actually, with Johnny, he'd probably do something stupid enough that it would be an impactful bump. I understand it would probably be the safest, but it's still, knowing him, it'll still probably hurt a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to call right now, Dominic will eliminate Rey.
Or will Rey eliminate Dominic?
No, they've already touched on that on SmackDown when he threw him over the top rope and Dom looked surprised. No, it's going to be this time Dominic throws Rey over and it'll be like, yeah, old man, I learned.
So they team up and eliminate, they team up to eliminate what, two or three guys before Dominic turns on the old man.
Either that or Dom gets eliminated, gets pissed off, and then like pulls Rey out.
Now, if the son is going to eliminate the father, I would rather it be like legitimate, tell you the truth.
Either way, something's going to happen with the Mysterios. We're just saying.
Mm-hmm. No.
Here's the thing, and I know they've done this for years, but Kofi just needs to be eliminated proper this year. Don't have handstands. Don't have pancakes. None of that stuff. Just have Kofi get launched into the third row legitimately and be done.
No, you're definitely going to be in the majority with that thought. People are going to want to see what he does to keep from planting both feet on the ground.
You mean I'm going to be in the minority?
Yeah, what did I say?
Majority.
Yeah, you're going to be the opposite of the majority.
Yeah. To me, it's one of those things like when it was done for a year or two, it was like, okay. And I mean, in 2013, when I was there, it's like, yeah, he did the chair stunt. And it was like, all right, that was kind of fun to see. He ended up on the on the announce table and did that. That's kind of fun. But it's like, now we're getting to that point where it's almost the 2 feet rule.
I don't know.
Joke.
I don't know. Isn't this like the Rumble version of the streak?
Kind of? Well, here's the other problem. You're now doing it in the women's match with Naomi, who's reenacting all of the Kofi stunts, as we've seen. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you're getting it twice at the same event, and it's losing its impact.
Well, you're implying that imitation as a form of flattery is passé. I don't know. It's got to be current. Punk is doing it in AEW. He is emulating literally move for move certain matches that Bret Hart has had, and it's getting over.
But it's just, like I said, it's getting to the point where when Kofi's in the match, you're just like, all right, well, we're going to wait for the spot where we think he's eliminated. No, wait, he's not. Okay. And then he gets up on the apron and it's like, all right, boom, now he's out. But it's reached saturation to me. And in my opinion, if there is at least a year or two where he gets eliminated, if he were to come back and do it again, like next year or maybe the year after, now you're like, oh, okay, he is resourceful. Whereas otherwise it's just, oh, great, someone will catch him. Or I don't know. I feel like they've gone to the well too many times with that instance.
I don't know. It's going to be one of those things. You're over it, but others aren't.
The interesting thing is, as Rock mentioned, like 9 people still have yet to be named for the women's rumble. There's a lot more that still need to be vetted out for the men's rumble.
No.
So who might be some surprises that we see?
Oh, shit. I've been wondering about that all week, and I've been, strangely enough, drawing a blank.
Is this where you see a main roster debut of a Blackheart? Because he hasn't been in a rumble before, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the way you introduce him into the main roster fans. Or do you get a bruiserweight appear? Because they're both seemingly on their way.
No.
Or is this that other, quote, forbidden door entry? I told Rock, I would absolutely love, just for how arrogant AEW fan is, I would love to see Okada walk out.
You know what would be hilarious?
Only because that would be a stab to their heart.
One, absolutely no way in hell it'll ever happen, even the day after. Hell freezes over. One night only, CM Punk.
No. The only way I want to see Punk come out for the Royal Rumble is if he enacts the Bushwhacker Luke exit. He comes running in and someone just chucks his ass out.
No.
We got the pop. Get the fuck out of here.
It would still be funny. It'll never fucking happen, especially the way they ended things with each other.
Until he came out and
But it would just really piss off the AEW fanboys.
No, I told Rock, if you wanted to do something perfect, if you just wanted to have a one-off appearance and it could set the world ablaze, especially if they return to their product, is if you had Cody show up for a one-night-only appearance.
Well, he's a free agent.
Because the reason I say that is, if he came into the WWE to work one match, the Royal Rumble, and then had to go back that Wednesday to Dynamite, the heat he would get would be nuclear. That AEW fan base would turn. And that whole idea of, like, he doesn't want to turn, if he wanted to do it proper, that's the way
that
to do
would
it.
Be the just, way.
And he just walks right back in there and is just like, you people did not know what you had until I showed up there. Mm. And now I'm here to just shit on your parade.
Take names and kick ass.
Right. And just everyone boos his ass out of that arena. It would be so great to see.
That would be definitely among the top 5 heel turns in the history of pro wrestling, if not the number one. I mean, right now, the number one heel turn in pro wrestling, Brent, what's that one?
Shawn Michaels putting Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window?
Yeah, I would say that ranks about 3 or 4. A little bit forward in time. Hulk Hogan coming out and joining the NWO.
But what side is he on?
Yeah, but what side is he on as he walks down the ramp? God damn it, Heenan.
He kind of jumped the gun a little bit on that one.
But yeah, well, and then there is one very interesting thing that happened tonight. So, Rock, GCW had an event, right?
Yes.
Someone was supposed to appear there, but did not, correct?
Who?
A certain Ring of Honor champion.
Mm-hmm.
The one of the champions was there, and he competed in the six-man. Other person didn't show up, and they had to get a replacement for him. Now, sometimes that happens because someone has been kind of secured for an appearance. Even if it's a one-off, it might be like, oh, well, we're going to like hold you out just to make sure that they're ready to go.
No.
You never know.
No, he was pulled due to medical protocols.
Oh, he has COVID. But
there's your answer.
Yeah, but honest, if you were to get someone like a Gresham could go into a match like that because he's a workhorse. He's an Iron Man. If he comes in at like a 5 and you can say, oh my God, the Ring of Honor champion is here. That way you have the Impact Knockouts champion. You'd have someone else's world champion there. That's a little decent bit of exposure. Plus, it could put together a working relationship with a certain company if you ever wanted to, you know, have that. It probably won't happen, but it's still an interesting thought. And as we've learned so far this year, there are capabilities of certain things happening now.
So, who's going to WrestleMania?
I've seen people say Brock entering this match, and I don't want it, especially because if he's already fighting Bobby, that would imply that Bobby wins, and I really don't want that.
But on the other side of that, Bobby loses to Brock, but becomes an entrant into the Rumble.
That's always fun to see when people who lose matches earlier in the night enter the Rumble, because it's like, okay, they need a shot for Mania now.
I can see Bobby entering into the Rumble.
That is a possibility.
But is he winning the Rumble, Tim?
If Bobby enters the Rumble, I don't think he wins the Rumble.
Then who wins the Rumble?
We've only got 15 people entered. What is the likelihood we're going to have a strong contender in the 15 yet to be named?
50-50.
How right? many people are left on the roster?
What are the chances we might see the return of a previously released superstar?
Anything's possible in 2022.
Oh, God.
What are you thinking, Brent?
I'm thinking my bold prediction could come true.
It's very possible.
That would be glorious for his ass to show up. It would because I will have already earned that point.
It would have been fantastic. But it can be names. What? Who's winning?
What is your bold prediction?
That a certain Mr. Rotunda will appear back in WWE.
All you have to say is Lindsay's boo, and everybody will know who you're talking about.
It's actually Boo Boo. That's the name. Boo.
But that's oh, also, Boo Boo. Sorry.
That also brings up a very interesting point of, you know, for the women's Rumble.
Hold on. Her reaction was no. No. Anyway, continue.
Kind of adjacent to that, there's one person we forgot in the women's Rumble who could make an appearance in that 9 who's been appearing in certain vignettes on Raw. We could see Alexa come back and what appearance she might have for people at the Rumble.
Yeah, I forgot about Alexa, which is weird because that's an unusual thing to do.
It is.
But is to forget about Alexa.
But we still need names who's winning this.
We're still thinking. There's still 15 people.
Make a guess right now. Who?
Honestly, if I had to guess from the people in the field right now.
Or anyone in general. Anyone in general. Who's winning?
I know. Well, what I'm trying to say is if I had to pick a name for the Rumble right now.
And you do.
I'd have to go Big E. Give him that moment of winning the Rumble.
Okay. Tim, your winner is?
Well, Brent, you're a bugger because I had it narrowed down to 2. And Big E was one of them. And the other one is KO. But me saying KO is just me being a fan of Kevin Steen.
I mean, he does have that new contract.
Yeah. And pissed off a lot of people who were hoping that he would run it out and then go to AEW. But,
so you're picking Kevin then?
I was leaning a little bit more towards Big E. When was the last time they had a Grand Slam winner in WWE? Who was the last Grand Slam in WWE?
Okay, hang on. WWE Grand Slam champions.
Seth.
Was it Seth?
I'm just throwing out the most recent name in my head. Or Big E's. No, Big E would have been because he won.
He did.
What do you mean by Grand Slam? What's your Grand Slam?
What do you think I mean by the Grand Slam?
I see U.S. tag and world.
Okay.
Or intercontinental, a secondary, a tag, and a primary.
That's three. That's not Grand Four. You need four.
You need four for the Grand Slam. That's why they call it the Grand Slam.
Yeah, two mid, main, and tag.
And Big E was the last one, right?
I don't think he was ever a U.S. champion.
He wasn't U.S. champ?
I do not believe so. According to Wikipedia, he's not listed in the revised format for Grand Slam. Okay. Even using the three title format, he's not listed on there, though he should be.
Okay. Now, if I were to say run the table, you guys probably wouldn't know what I was talking about, right?
Run the table?
Depends your definition. Coming one to 30 in the Rumble?
Well, if you think about somebody running the table, you're thinking about somebody that's picking up all of the rewards at the major pay-per-views. And what are the major rewards? It would be definitely the Royal Rumble champion, like winning the Rumble.
Money in the Bank, and then WrestleMania.
Money in the Bank.
And WrestleMania win.
And then winning at WrestleMania.
So, okay. So, long story short, Big E.
That's a personal favorite pick. My desire would be Kevin Owens, but the personal favorite pick is Big E.
So which one are you going with on the sheet?
The personal favorite pick is the one you go with.
Kevin Owens.
No,
Big E.
Big E is the personal favorite pick.
Okay, Big.
So just to close it all out, Casey went Big E, so
there we go.
You all
holy
have
shit.
Does he have an E for that one as well?
He has a big E. Yeah.
Gotcha.
All three of us leaning towards Big E, we know that he's going to be the first one eliminated now. Buck.
So that does it for Royal Rumble Pick'em. Go to facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Probably closer to Thursday, and hopefully there'll be a full card by then. And more, what happens on Monday. Depends what happens on Monday.
You're expecting a full card to be set before Friday night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So with that, we have one thing left to do, and that's the Royal Rumble entry contest. So earlier today, took all 30 names and I put them on random.org.
Oh, God.
And we came up with a list of who got what number. Tim, would you like to tell the people who has what number?
That's going to necessitate me opening this up.
Oh, God damn it.
In a big enough window.
I get screwed more years than not. The one chance I had was the year I was in person, and I ended up with Ryback.
Okay, I've got it opened up. I just got to move everything over, and I'll tell you right now, I'm not a big fan of where you're sitting, Rock.
No?
No.
It's not the big one,
though. Isn't that
one
of the more favorable numbers?
No. 27 is.
27 is.
27 is more favorable.
Oh, well, okay, that's better then. Okay. But, all right. So, here are the drawing results. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we'll start at 1 and go down to 30. In first place, drawing number 1, our buddy from across the pond, Michael. Michael, you're number 1.
He's hoping for a go the distance right now.
Yeah, he's got a hope for a Shawn Michaels run. Number 2 is a guy who follows me on Twitter, and we chat on a regular basis. I believe this is his first time playing. Mr. Joe Fielding. Joe, you're number 2.
Last year's winner, I believe.
Did number 2 win last year?
It was Edge. He came
Did
in
Edge
at 2 because Randy was 1, Edge was 2.
Oh, that's right. All right. So there you go. Okay, so number 3 will be our buddy Lone Jobber.
Lone Jobber.
Woo! Yeah. Is that Jenna?
Yeah.
Jenna. Why do I know that name? Is that Jenna Parks?
Yes.
I knew it. If she's listening, Jenna, I hope that you and the family are feeling better. And that being the case, you drew number 4. And hello to the Parks family. Brent, you're number 5.
I just looked up the stats. I need it to be 1997 again. Let's go.
Who won it in 97?
Hang on.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And that's the bottom line. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, don't ever do that again.
All right, let's speed it up to him a little bit.
But I'm taking my time because it's enjoyable. All right, another Twitter follower, number six, Sam V. Blair. Sam, you're number six. Congratulations. Number seven. Now, this guy, you're going to get to know a lot more of. He used to be I was about to say he used to be a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine who used to be a wrestler locally in town here, wrestled under the name Spade, and he was actually in Matt Rats. You remember Matt Rats, Rock?
Sure.
Just go with it, okay?
Jordan. That's why I said sure. Let's keep going.
Yeah, Jordan, you're number seven. Tim B. I don't know who that might be, but his name's Tim. It's not me. He's number eight. Yours truly is number nine. And that's just weird to have the two Tims together, eight and nine like that. But boy, man, that's wild. Drawing number 10 is Ace Massanite. You're a number 11. Sheila, who is probably busy listening to some kind of a sex party thing where she's buying lotions and stuff like that, knowing her. She's number 12. Alex Cage draws in at 13. Iggy Fan 12 is 14. And our buddy Rob Parks is 15. Don't forget, everybody, that this number holds for both Rumbles, both the men's and the women's. So it doesn't matter which one you're looking at. Whoever enters at number nine, that's your pick. 16 goes to Matt S. 17 is drawn by, is that Ronan?
Mm-hmm.
Ronan M. And I was going to say, yeah, Ronan, that's Masterless Samurai, but it's spelled wrong. Anyway, V5 Flames GM is 18. You can tell which one of these guys are on Twitter. They're using their Twitter handles. 19 is FJ Wilson 76. And we all know who Anubis Ash is, don't we?
He's number 20.
He's in the chat room. He's number 20. And of course, the lovely, lovely multi-time, multi-award winning host of the multi-time, multi-award winning webcast here Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, The Rack, Lindsay, is 21. I'll let you make your own jokes about age and stuff like that. Anyway, number 22 is Le Mans. Is it Le Mans or Le Mans or what?
That's fine.
Anyway, it works. Adam W. draws 23. Joss S. draws 24. 25 is being held by Derek B., our buddy Keishi Matsunaga. Follow him on Twitter at Kyle Driver, Pile Driver, but with a K. He's 26. 27 is Amy S. It's been a while since we've seen Amy in the chat room. That's too bad. Anyway, Rock, you're 28. Subway is 29. And Wit, you drew the final spot, the one that is supposed to be the favorite spot. You're number 30. And Rock, wasn't I number 9 last year?
I don't remember.
I want to redo.
No.
Anyway, what?
I said no.
No. That is the webcast for tonight, everybody. Good luck to all of you for the Royal Rumble. Remember your numbers. We'll have that posted all over social media within the hour, if not sooner.
Probably tomorrow morning.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. He'll post it tomorrow morning because he wants to go to bed because it's midnight for him. Well, almost.
Almost. Midnight.
Anyway, because he's in the Eastern time zone. Me, I still have a couple hours to go. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw's post show.
This is the Raw post show. The road to the Royal Rumble stops at the fourth Monday Night Raw, so we'll cover it all 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and of course, I mentioned it once. I'm going to mention it twice. The Rack, 10 o'clock Eastern, Thursday nights, with Lindsay Ward and Rock.
Rack is live Thursday night to preview the Royal Rumble.
There you go. And of course, midnight-ish. We're as close as we can get to it. Another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Unusual. The guys all being investigated by CSI Miami, CB Radio.
Well, that would be the case on a normal Saturday.
Uh-oh.
But there's a pay-per-view this week, or a premium live event this week.
I was about to correct you.
premium live event this week, which means The Rack will be live following the Royal Rumble on Saturday, meaning no CB Radio. You can go listen to last night's CB Radio. That will be available tomorrow at CBRadioLive.com, where we had an interesting bait.
Brock, no, just no, you've got to work up to it.
It was an interesting debate. Check it out tomorrow, CBRadioLive.com. CBR returns the following week.
There you go. Yeah, I might be free after Royal Rumble next Saturday night, Rock, just so you know.
No, you guys will do it on Sunday.
I'm just saying, I might be free.
Cool. Congrats.
I'm not going to say what I'm free for, but I'm free. Anyway, that being said, yes, next Sunday night at a regular time, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, it will be the Royal Rumble review edition of WTR Live. I hope that you guys enjoy the week. Enjoy the Royal Rumble next Sunday. We're going to catch you on Sunday night, and we're going to talk about what we thought about it. But in the meantime and in between time, throughout the week, you can interact with us on the social medias. Isn't that right, Rock?
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday on the Facebook and the Twitters. Also, would like to mention, you can follow Lindsay on Twitter at Linz Ward. And make sure you go subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's linzward.rockradioshow.com, or just search Linz Ward on YouTube. She's going to be streaming Genshin Impact daily, every single day almost, maybe not Friday, but most days on YouTube about 6 p.m. Eastern. So check it
That's
out.
Just a little bit of awesomeness.
So subscribe. So hold on. Like, subscribe, ring the bell. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Like, subscribe, ring the bell, and sometimes on the weekends, Genshin Impact with Lindsay on YouTube.
And I was just going to say congratulations and good luck on your YouTube channel, Lindsay. And I know that it's just going to explode, which is not a bad thing.
So subscribe to it, everyone.
Subscribe to Lindsay Ward's YouTube channel or go to hell.
I mean, Tim, you should subscribe to it. You should go hit the button.
That would necessitate me logging in and remembering my password. And I haven't logged into YouTube in about 5 years.
You're on Google all the time. It's fine.
So I know that. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so follow Lindsay on YouTube. Follow me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. Now, that sounds kind of weird. People don't know what that is. For others who think, oh, it's too talky. No, it's a lot more. I post memes, I post gifts, I do dad jokes. Everything. It's not just wrestling and hockey. Follow me if you're not at Flames Forums, Brent.
Yeah, I follow you at Flames Forums.
Yes, you do. But this was your opportunity to tell people not to follow you on Twitter.
Oh, well, it just depends what your proclivities are. But if you want to see what I have to say and possibly argue with me, depending upon your certain fandoms, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens when you know I'm not in class or work. Because that's what this semester's turning into.
So, you're either in class or you're at work?
Or I'm working from home or doing homework. So, yes.
Which means that half the time you have no class.
Oh, I have plenty of classes. Don't you worry about that.
Tim, I've known him for a long time. He has no class. He's a Cowboys fan.
There's no class in cheering for the Cowboys.
Go boo Santa, Rock.
Ooh, wow, so original.
Hey.
What's next?
Well,
you're going to bring
up
cheesesteaks?
You booing Santa is good on two different levels. Shalom.
You know, I did my damnedest to be a bad boy all of 2021 because I wanted coal in my stocking this year. The price of heating oil is ridiculous. Anyway!
Can we get some olds at WTR Live Olds in chat then for that one? Thank you.
There you go. Oh, yeah, our buddy Casey will return. In the meantime, you can follow him on the Twitter as well, at Kyle Driver. That's Pile Driver, but with a K, not a P. That said, I do believe we're done, Rock.
We are done. We'll see you all week long. Long day, anyways, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Bye.
Have yourselves a great week, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.